Welcome to Spiritual Sense. I'm Brother Michael and this is Sister Shireen. We are spiritual teachers of nearly 60 years combined spiritual practice and teaching. And today we're diving into spiritual muscle memory, which is a curious topic that our lovely Sister Shireen wanted to talk about. So I am not exactly sure what she's going to talk about, but let's jump into it. So what is this spiritual muscle memory and why is this important?
You know, in our recent lessons, one of the things that came up was that if you develop a method of transformation, then that will be useful for you in the future. So any method of transformation, right? That it should be a method that's going to work. Right. And if that method works, and let's say you have done it for a period of time, you know, put it into practice for a period of time, let's say 10 years ago. 10 years later, if you want to do any kind of transformation, that method will work. Because there is something called spiritual muscle memory, just like there's something called physical muscle memory.
So like, this is like setting ourselves up for success.
Absolutely.
In the future.
Yes. So do you play the piano, Brother Michael?
I do play the piano, yes.
Okay, when did you first learn the piano?
I learned the piano when I was, I don't know, probably about 10 maybe, or 8 or something.
Okay.
And then I went many, many years where I didn't play the piano. I actually stopped playing the piano on purpose because I felt I was trying to do too many things and it was stressing me out. And then I got a piano recently and I found that I was quite good at the piano without doing anything.
My point, exactly.
So there it is.
There it is. And so what that happens is that you created a muscle memory, right? It's a physiological muscle memory. It involves the soul, the brain, your fingers, everything else, your nervous system, everything. And you created a memory of how to play the piano. And so let's say for 20 years you didn't play the piano at all. And then suddenly you picked it up and whatever you learned when you were 10 years old, it all came back to you, and it came back to you with equal dexterity, actually, because you created a muscle memory when you were 10 and you could use that same muscle memory later on in life. And so the same application, actually, the same thing applies to the soul. So we actually have something called spiritual muscle memory.
Well, it seems that way for bad habits anyway. I'm sure it's the same for good habits. You know, it's like I thought I overcame this old habit of mine, and then like I'm in a situation and something goes trigger. I'm like, oh, look, it's easy to do this thing I thought I wasn't doing anymore. So if it's true for that, then it must be true the other way around. So
yeah.
It's setting ourselves up for success.
Right. You know, that now that you bring up bad habits, I want to talk about sanskaras. I don't know if we have spoken about sanskaras before in our podcast, but sanskaras are very important to understand. So they're one of the three faculties of the soul. Just like we have eyes and ears and nose, the same way the soul has certain faculties, right? These are the faculties of the body, right? But the soul itself has certain faculties, and that is the mind, the intellect, and the sanskaras or impressions. And so sanskaras, you could say, are any kind of imprints on the soul. So let's say any experience I have, whether it is smelling a lemon or getting mugged, they're all, you know, varying degrees of experience. They all create an imprint on the soul. It's not just on the brain. The imprint doesn't just go on the brain, right? People say that memory is stored in the brain. Yes, it is stored in the brain, but it's also stored in the soul, in this subtle spiritual faculty called sanskaras. And so sanskaras are not only the imprints, right? The closest translation we can give is impressions or imprints on the soul. So sanskaras are not only imprints, but these imprints, right, create attitudes, belief systems, long-term memory, habits. All of those things are sanskaras. So I'll give you an example of a sanskara. So let's say I am 2 years old, and this is a true story, actually. I'm 2 years old, and I don't like mangoes, which is shocking.
Good Lord.
That was true.
Really?
Yes.
This is for you?
Yes.
You didn't like mangoes at 2 years old?
No, I didn't like mangoes at 2 years old. And that was not okay with my parents, right? Because they had a mango farm, like a big, big mango farm, right? Like a big plantation kind of thing with different kinds of mangoes. And they were like, what? That's not acceptable.
She's not our daughter.
What's going on with this? So that was
considering putting you up for adoption.
Thankfully not.
I'm not sure about this.
My mom had an idea. So what she would do is before giving me food in the morning, whenever mango season came around, she would feed me a little bit of mango. And I remember resisting and doing all of those things, and it didn't work, right? I distinctly remember these memories of not wanting to eat the mango and my mom forcing me to eat it. So about 2 or 3 weeks later, maybe I was 2 or 3 when the mango season came around, and this happened every day, a fight over eating a mango. Then I started loving mangoes, right? So now let's take the first bite of mango I had when I was 2 or 3. So the way it tasted, the way it felt, the way it smelled, I'm creating a memory, not just in my brain, I'm creating a memory in the soul, right? The taste, the smell, everything, I'm creating a memory in the soul. And that memory, place where that memory is created, is called sanskaras. And so I'm creating a sanskara. So the next day, again, I'm fed the mango. And now, initially, I'm recalling that I don't like the smell of it, I don't like the taste of it, and I'm resisting. Because where is it coming up from? The memory is coming up from the sanskaras into my mind, right? This is the taste, this is the smell, this is the way it looks, and it's mango, don't eat, right? It's coming up in the mind. So the sanskaras are being fed into the mind, which is another faculty of the soul. So like that, it goes on and on. And then let's say it took 3 weeks, so however long it took for me to actually get used to eating a mango, which I can't imagine, because now I can have mango for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I'm fine. I don't need to eat anything else. But so that's what happens, right? So the sanskaras are being programmed. Impressions are being created. So for 3 weeks, an impression was created about the mango, and in this case, I had a favorable impression of the mango. So those impressions are very important, because impressions are key to life, right? So impressions are key to life in that they can be necessary impressions, they can be good impressions, they can be negative impressions, and they can be our original impressions. So let's talk about what you were saying about bad habits. So let's say anger or fear, or even let's say some kind of addiction, right? That could, and especially addiction is just a habit that is really harmful to the soul. That's all it is, right? So all these are sanskaras, actually. All of them are sanskaras. And sanskaras are really key to life. And so let's say I have fear impression or anger sanskara, or sanskara and impression are the same. I'm using them interchangeably. All of these things are negative. So when you were saying these bad impressions, right, like these bad habits, these addictions that come up and you thought, oh, they're gone, but they are actually deep sanskaras that keep coming up on the mind. And so there's a good news to this, is these sanskaras keep, negative sanskaras keep coming up, right, on the mind. It could be any of the negative things that we are dealing with. You know, the way we talk to ourselves, self-sabotaging patterns, all of these are negative sanskaras, actually. And so what happens is when we decide to transform in this case, right? Oh, let's talk about necessary sanskaras. So necessary sanskaras or necessary impressions would be how to drive, how to cook, how to, you know, let's say do banking or whatever, whatever, necessary things that we need for life. And then there are good impressions also. Good impressions could be the taste of mango, or it could be, you know, my kindness towards people. All of these could be good impressions too, right? But then they are original sanskaras. And original sanskaras are innate to the soul. You want to share something about it?
It's a huge topic. It's a big, big topic. Another word for sanskaras is subconscious. It perhaps has slightly different connotations, but there's a big bank, I like to think of it as like this massive, infinitely huge library of all of our experiences throughout life. And it's a huge, 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 huge. So it's everything we've ever experienced is all in this big library, which we don't know about because it's underneath. Subconscious or unconscious means it's underneath the level of our conscious awareness. We're not aware of it directly. It's only when it comes up out of the unconscious or from the sanskaras up that we notice what is going on. And I just wanted to come back to, this is a very, very big topic. I wanted to come back to this mango idea. There's a psychological principle called mere exposure effect. And apparently the reason people end up liking pop songs is when they first hear the song, they actually don't like it. They're like, what the hell? This is another cheesy pop song. I don't like it. But they keep playing it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And after they've heard it like 40 times, they're like, oh, this is kind of like, you know, I can get into this. Because they get used to it after a while. And that's a slightly strange situation to be in. Like with the mangoes, that's a bit of an odd situation where you didn't like it, but just because of mere exposure, after there's a certain tipping point where you said, oh, you know, I quite like this. And that's probably why we can either get into good or bad habits. You know, like I've started having cold showers after my warm shower, which some people think is a shocking thing to do. And I thought it was a shocking thing to do. Oh my God, it's so cold. I don't want to be in the cold water. But actually now I quite enjoy
it. Let's not talk about who thinks it's a shocking thing.
Don't talk about cold showers. No, 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 let's not get into cold showers. But they're good for you, right? If you have a cold shower after a warm shower,
whatever, sure. Heart.
But anyway, but this is an example of mere exposure effect. Like, first time you do something, you don't like it. Second time, you still don't like it. Don't like it, don't like it. Then you get used to it. And so we kind of like to repeat what we're doing because we're comfortable doing the same thing over and over again. So a lot of these things, there was a point where we weren't exposed to any of these things at all. So that we didn't have the sanskara because we didn't have the experience. But so when it comes to the original sanskaras versus the more recent ones, the more recent ones obviously are more recent because we didn't have the experiences until recently. But if you go back in time, back, before all this other stuff was programmed into us, there are certain sanskaras or certain states of being that predate everything else. And this is one of those like age-old questions. Are we innately good or innately evil beings? And different religions have different opinions about this. But what we understand is that the original state of the soul before all the programming is love, infinite love, peace, joy, bliss, purity. So if you got all the old sanskaras, all the programmed sanskaras out of the way and went back to the beginning before we were programmed, we would just experience divine joy and light and peace, and that would be all it was. Right. What a wonderful thing.
What a wonderful thing. Yay.
Hey.
Right. So so going back to spiritual muscle memory, right? So these negative sanskaras are the most recent spiritual muscle memory. That's what is spiritual muscle memory. We did it so many times, like the mango, like I did it so many times that I created a memory of it and then I started liking it. And then now I'm looking forward to every summer when the mango season comes around because I love mangoes, right? And so it's like a habit we have created. And so because we have created a spiritual muscle memory around it, like you were saying about negative habits, right? Even though I haven't done them for a while, then, you know, like alcoholics will tell you about it, like one too many, thousand not enough, right? Like they'll think, oh, they'll just take one drink and then it's 1,000 is not enough because they are activating a muscle memory inside. And so in the same way, for transformation to happen, we can activate our original sanskaras. And like you were saying, right, our understanding is that originally we are pure, peaceful, loving, wise, powerful beings. That's our original nature. And so now that all of these more recent negative sanskaras like fear and anger and laziness and arrogance and ego and all of those are more prominent in the soul right now, right? They are upper, they're coming up because they're actually maybe some of them are even above the subconscious. They're in the conscious. But now deep down in the subconscious, we have these original pure sanskaras. We don't have to acquire them from somewhere else. So let's take love, right? So love actually is a very deep original memory embedded in the soul. That's why we all want love, right? That's why we all want these things. Like no one is sitting here thinking, oh, I don't want peace, I don't want love. I mean, if you're a masochist, yes, but otherwise, no. I mean, that's a very unusual case. But everyone wants love, everyone wants peace, is because that is their original nature, because they've tasted it before. You know, like let's take a mango now, right? Because I've had very, very, very good mangoes growing up because we had a farm. When I came to the U.S., I had a shock. I was like, what? No mangoes? And they are so horrible? It was a big renunciation. And so now, living in Florida, we have a lot of mangoes around. Actually, mangoes grow here now. And so when someone tells me they have a mango tree in their yard, I'm willing to drive 2 hours to go get a mango. Why is that? Right? Why is that? Because I've experienced a good mango. And because I've experienced a good mango, I want to recreate that experience. If I ask someone, oh, you want to eat some weird Brazilian fruit somewhere, right? Like Brazil has amazing fruit, I heard, which we've never heard of. You would say no, because you've never eaten it before. Right? Because you've eaten it before, you crave it. It's the same way with love or peace. Because you've experienced it before, because it's your original sanskara, you want it back, right?
Absolutely. There's certain things that just recur again and again and again. Even though we have all these additional sanskaras. It's like on the baseline is love, peace, joy, freedom, purity. And then there's all this other stuff stacked on the top. But those original sanskaras are still kind of managing their way through some of these things and coming up, because that's what we all want.
Right. Like, and how many times do you feel, oh, like you're going through, and I just want a peaceful day. I just want to go sit somewhere and experience some peace. How many of us feel that way? We all do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who we are.
And when we do feel wonderful, like deep peace or deep love, we're like, yes, I feel so good. That's what comes. I feel great. I feel alive. I feel wonderful, you know, because it's a natural state. To me, that's the proof that why is it that when we feel these deep feelings, we in ourselves feel, I'm feeling great. I'm so grateful. I feel great. Whereas when we feel stressed, we don't say, oh, this is great. I'm so pleased about this stuff.
I know, right? No one's sitting here thinking, oh, let me get some more stress.
Oh, more stress. Let's see what we can do to get more stress. But then again,
because there's self-sabotage, no? But deep inside, you're not thinking, oh, let me go find stress. But because there is a habit of creating stress, you create more stress. In the same way, we can create the habit of feeling love. Let's take love, right? Let's take one sanskara, one spiritual muscle memory. And so what happens with the spiritual muscle memory is that if I have a method for experiencing love, pure love, not the romantic kind that sometimes is good, sometimes not so good, is I'm talking about just pure love, right? And if I create a method to experience love, then if I experience love even for a few seconds today, then I use the same method and experience it tomorrow, use the same method, experience it the day after, experience the day after. And let's say I experience love for a whole month, which we should experience love all the time. But in let's say for a minute or 2 minutes each day, I experience love for a whole month. And I stopped experiencing it for a year. When I go back to that method, I can experience love like this. So you're actually investing in two things when you create methods for experiencing your original sanskaras, right? First, you're investing in your original nature. You're actually making time to find out what it is and experience it. That's one, which is wonderful at this moment, right? But the other wonderful thing is in the future, anytime I want it, I can go back to the same method and experience it. That is spiritual muscle memory.
It's money in the bank. Money in the bank right there.
Right.
This is the stuff that stays with us. You know, everything else in our life changes, but ultimately all we're left with is our state of consciousness. When I realized that, it changed my life, actually, because sometimes we think, you know, having knowledge or having stuff or having whatever it is kind of like having attainment, and it looks like it is temporarily, but there's going to come a point where all this disappears, and what do we take with us is actually just our sanskaras, because we forget everything. All the knowledge and ideas will be wiped out of our mind. But the sanskaras, the feelings, the state of consciousness is actually something that we have that we can continue with after we leave the body. So this is actually like the most important thing in life, because this is all we got when it comes down to it.
Absolutely. And it sounds so sad, actually, to think that we don't experience love even for a minute in a day. Even if I decide to experience love for 1 minute in a day for the next 30 days, you are giving yourself such a big gift. Right? And there is a method. But there is a method for any of these original sanskaras, right? There's a method. There's a method for peace. There's a method for love. Let's talk about love. And so this method of transformation, or this method of experiencing love, right? The first thing you have to do, you have to accept that my original nature is love. And the second thing is divine love. Love from the source, love from the divine, is a deep memory embedded in the soul. It's a memory that is embedded in the soul. And that memory is not going anywhere. It's an imperishable memory. Right? So I am love. My original nature is love. I am loved. That is, there's a deep memory of love from the divine source embedded in the soul. And the third is, my nature is love. So if I remind myself, I am a soul, I am love, I take like the purest memory of love I have and really expand it and know that that is the love of the Supreme, actually, the love of the Supreme to the soul. And then share that love with everyone, even if it's one or two people, just share that love. Then you will see that that is like 1 minute of experience of love. And you do that every day for 30 days, right? That is such a big gift for yourself.
Mm. It's the best use of time. And, it, you know, why wouldn't we want to do this? You know, better than feeling stressed out and needy and anxious and worried instead, you know, for a month, you know, or a year. So concentration is what leads to this, to just say I'm choosing to come into these experiences again and again and again. And we have so many methods about, we're sharing methods now, but I mean our courses and programs and meditations, there's so many methods, and it's important to find something that resonates with you, that works for you, and then just go into that again and again and again and again and again, over and over again, until you can come into that feeling state quite quickly and easily, because muscle memory comes from repetition. It doesn't just happen by itself. There needs to be a certain number of practices, certain number of rounds. It's not an amount of time, actually. It's how many repetitions. So if somebody does, like, let's say they practice something once a month for 40 years, they might not actually even create muscle memory, actually, because there's too much space in between. But if someone does it every day, every hour for 5 minutes, every hour for like 2 weeks, then it goes in much quicker, because the amount of potency is increased. So that's what creates these experiences in this muscle memory faster, is how many times do we repeat something over and over again and then come into the feeling. Because if it's just intellectual, it doesn't do us much good. It needs to go from theory into an embodiment experience where we feel it in our body, in our mind, in the brain, in the heart. Because the soul, inside the soul, there are the five senses. Like internally, we experience everything. So we experience taste, smell, touch, sight, and hearing. That's, you know, we can hear things in our mind that aren't actually in the outside world. So we want to really experience these things very, very deeply, over and over and over again, again and again and again and again, until it becomes programmed into us. And this isn't really a new program. It might seem like it is, but this is actually returning to an old program that's already there. So this is a fascinating experience. What do you think, Shireen? What's the fastest way to come into this? How long did you recommend our lovely listeners practice something?
I liked what you brought up, dosage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Let's say you have a like an infection. You can't take antibiotic once a month and think the infection will go away. Right? No. There has to be the right amount of dosage for the infection to go away. in the same way also, like anything, no? I can't play golf once a month and think I'll be good at it. I have to play frequently to be able to be good at it, right? To create muscle memory, that's what you're sharing. And that's a very important point, actually. And so even to experience love, right, it has to be every day, every day, every day, every day, three, four times a day. And put a timer, put an alarm on your phone and just keep doing it. Keep doing it because what else is there to life, right? Who in the world feels that they don't want love? Who feels that way?
Nutcases.
Some nutcases, maybe, but most number of people want love. And you can experience it. This is what the whole point of this podcast is. It is actually something very important about this is you're the only one who can give yourself love. Everyone else, yes, they can give love, but if you don't feel self-love, whatever that love is will not be enough. And so you want self-love first. Then receiving love from other people, then yes, right? Otherwise the love becomes very dependent. Then human beings are human beings. They, you know, poor people, they're going through their own stuff. They have up days one time, down days one day, you know. And then when they have up days, then they love you. When they're down days, they don't love you. And all everyone who's gotten into relationships can tell you this, that, you know, they love you 1 minute and next minute, okay, bye, talk soon kind of thing, right? So see ya later. And so all of this is happening with human beings, which poor things don't expect too much, right? What this is telling you is not that love is bad. Right? What this is telling you is you're getting your love from the wrong sources and that there's an infinite source of love inside you and your connection to the divine, to the source, to the supreme, then there is love. Then you can have an experience of love. That's what it's telling you. Not to get from here to here and think, oh, but I've been so badly damaged in love. I don't trust this and that, right? Not excuse. This is something we can connect with the Supreme, and it's a deep memory inside, right? That spiritual muscle memory, once you start activating it, it is so wonderful. What else is there to life, right? If you come down to it, come down to it, come down to it, come down to it. People do things only for one or two reasons. Right? They want security, they want love, they want peace, they want happiness, that's it. Like if you you ask someone, why do you want this? Why do you want this? Why do you want this? Right? I mean, take out the ego, but the pure essence of it would be these four or five things.
Right.
And if you can experience these four or five things without running around and, you know, working so hard and, getting into self-sabotaging relationships and this and that, wouldn't it be fun then, right? Then whichever relationships you can get in, which you get into will be wonderful because you've learned to love yourself. You've learned that there is a big volcano inside of you of love and that you've accessed the volcano and now you can share it with everyone.
Yeah, self-sovereign because we're not needy of things. I think it's worth considering if someone's like, I don't know, like where to go with this, is that ask what are your most important focuses right now in your life, you know, whether it's your work or your relationships or health or whatever, whatever, right? What is it that you want, like practical things? And then ask yourself, why do you want that? And then why do you want that? And why do you want that? And why do you want that? So like if someone says, I want money, so, okay, why do you want money? Well, because I need to buy all the stuff. Why do you need to buy the stuff? So that I don't have to worry about things. And why do you not want to have to worry about things? Because I don't like worrying, because I want to be relaxed. And why do you want to be relaxed? Because I want to feel deep peace, right? And any of these things, it comes down to either love, peace, joy, freedom, security, bliss. So just ask yourself, you know, why do you want the things you want? Come to the bottom level of what it is. And then think, how can I experience that thing, that experience, which is actually there anyway underneath everything, over and over and over again for 2 minutes at a time for a month? Because that's actually the whole point of all this other hard work that we're doing. And we might as well just get to the point and cut all the nonsense out.
Absolutely, Michael. Absolutely. And it doesn't cost anything. That's the good news. No one's asking you to go to a $5,000 paid retreat to get this. No one's asking you to, you know, transfer this much money or give 5 days of your time or, you know, sell your firstborn or whatever it is that people want these days, right? No one's asking you any of that stuff. Just sit down and experience it. I'm telling you as your big sister, just do it.
Yeah. So listen to the meditations. Like, you might, someone, I can imagine people thinking, well, how am I supposed to do this? If I already could experience love, I would have done it already. We have loads of meditations. We have loads of methods. If they're not clear enough and they're not working or you don't know where they are, you can let us know in the comments because we have loads of stuff and we'll put a link to everything.
And we can create but more just stuff.
All we do is create things all day long. So if there's anything missing, we have hundreds of meditations and they're all about coming into these feelings. And we also have methods and drills and all these things. So the way to go is we have to choose something that we like. Like, there's no point choosing a method or a meditation that you're not into because it's not going to work. So if you have 100 meditations to choose from, find the one that you like the most that does the job for you. And then just do it again and again and again and again and again until you experience the feeling state, and then you can bask in that wonderful feeling. And then just keep doing it again and again and again until it becomes a very strong muscle memory, a strong sanskara.
Yay for muscle memory, right? So this whole method of transformation, this whole... that you find a method of transformation, find a method of experience and just keep experiencing it. And you have tapped into spiritual muscle memory.
Hooray. Acha? Ease and grace. Good job. Yeah. So one last story. I'll just finish with a funny story that I wrote about this years ago in one of my books that... on this topic, that when I was, before I had a spiritual awakening, when I was a teenager, when I was like 17 or something, I needed money, right? Because I didn't have any money. And my parents gave me some, but they wanted me to work. So I had the habit of working and not expecting to get things, right? So I had to get a job. And so I worked in a kitchen, which I didn't like because it was an easy job, washing dishes. And because I didn't like my job, I needed money, but so I got a job. And I didn't like my job, so I would spend the money that I earned on cannabis, marijuana, right? And then when I got back from work, because I wasn't happy about the fact that I had to go to work, I would smoke cannabis in the evening, which basically was just spending all the money that I just earned on the job. So I had to smoke weed because I didn't like my job, and I needed money because I didn't like my job to buy the weed, right? Do you see how this is like a very nasty, vicious cycle, right? So then, this sums up like so many people's lives right here. So then when I had a spiritual awakening, I realized that I could just feel peace and love for free, just like that. So then I remember one time I was lying down going to bed like on Friday night at 8 o'clock at night or something, instead of going out drinking or whatever I would normally be doing. And I was like, I feel so good. I feel so much love, so much peace, divine love and peace coming into me. And I thought, I don't need anything. So then I quit my job, right? Because I didn't need to work because I didn't need to buy the stuff to do the thing, to do this, that, and the other. Do you know what I mean? So just think how much money you can save if you just get to the point. How much time and energy is just like get straight to the point.
Oh, wow. You know, all I can see in this story, Michael, is how different your childhood was from mine.
Shireen wasn't allowed to go out working in restaurants and smoking weed.
Oh, God, no way. I grew up in a very strict South Indian household.
Yeah.
Very strict.
Well,
if I was, if I was supposed to come home at 5:30, right? And if I came home at 6 o'clock, my dad would be pacing up and down in the balcony. Half an hour. I mean, it's not even like it's like 10 o'clock at night, right? I mean, 5:30 to 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, I used to come home at probably 1 in the morning after my shift at the restaurant, you know. But anyway, we all have different experiences and we get where we need to go in our life. What a wonder.
No, what a wonder.
Oh,
we are
yes.
on the same journey now.
We are, isn't that wonderful? Spiritual
even though, like, if we didn't have, you had that life where everything went, right? Yeah. And I had a life where it was really strict. We are on the same path now.
What a wonder. So yeah, you can, doesn't matter where you start from, it's just where you end up getting. And we all come to our awakening in different places. Yay. So what wonderful blessing do we have today?
Okay, I opened the page to faith or farsighted. Which one do you want?
Farsighted.
Farsighted. You possess an unlimited capacity for insight. So this is God's blessing for you. You possess an unlimited capacity for insight. With the clarity of a visionary, you discern the outcomes of your current actions. Your mastery of foresight enables you to act now, knowing it will result in a brighter, more prosperous future. Very appropriate.
Mm. Perfect. So create the muscle memory of higher consciousness and freedom and love and peace now, and it will do you wonderful service for years and years and years and lifetimes as well in the future. Congratulations, lots of love, and talk to you soon.